Today's color is the color of red because today is 50 days after Easter, according to Hebrew tradition. Today is the day that Moses handed down the Ten Commandments on the Mount Sinai. 3,000 people were struck dead that day. Now Christ comes along, same day. New covenant comes down. 3,000 people were made alive, not just for a little bit, but for all eternity. A whole new covenant change, a whole new way of approaching God happened. And something else happened that day. The Holy Spirit came down. That's why it's red, because it says it came down in tongues of fire and landed on everyone's head. But here's the interesting thing. Under the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon a person, give them the information, and then would withdraw after the deed was accomplished. That's why David, after he sinned, he said, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't take your presence from me." On the day that Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down. That was the sign. He came down in the shape of a dove, landed on Jesus, and stayed there because Jesus was worthy to have the presence of the Holy Spirit to indwell him. From that point on, he was walking by the power and the leading of the Spirit. The interesting thing that happened is, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came down upon the church, on all those 3,000 people that got saved and the apostles and all that. The church was inaugurated. The Holy Spirit has indwelt each and every Christian, each and every true member of the body of Christ from that point on, because Christ is indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We are His body. We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. When He died on the cross, He took all the sins of the world, and now because all of our sins have been put on Him and all the judgment had fallen upon Him, all of our sins is gone. And believe it or not, I don't care what you did this week. Have you noticed that the Holy Spirit is still with you? That's because, not just in theory, but in practice, from God's point of view, you are so clean that the Holy Spirit will not withdraw from you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He came upon you. Once you accepted Christ and trusted Him, your sins was removed as far as the east is from the west, thrown into the sea of God's forgetfulness. The Holy Spirit came down, and that's the sign that you are saved, you are sealed, and you will arrive in eternity. And that is because you are so clean because of the sacrifice of Christ and His sweeping away, bundling up all the sins and all your failures and killing them on the cross. The Holy Spirit indwells you because you are pure enough for Him to stay upon you, not just upon you, but within you forever and ever and ever and ever. We're going to go over 2 Corinthians chapter 3 using King James. I'll start with verse 4. "Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. Our sufficiency is from God." We have confidence that through Christ toward God, that we not ourselves are sufficient, but we have a sufficiency enough coming from God, coming from Christ for us. That statement can be proven, and we'll just go back. The sufficiency of Jesus Christ has always been there. It has always been recorded. Start in the book of Genesis, you go all the way to the book of Revelation. Remember the two disciples going to Emmaus after Christ rose? When they didn't recognize Him, it says He started with Moses or the law and the prophets and went all the way and declared Himself or revealed Himself using the scriptures that He was there all the time. And once they had all the scriptures in their head, all the scriptures in their heart, it started burning within them. Then He revealed Himself, and therefore that is where we're kind of going to start. We can't spend all the time because we're not walking 8 miles to Emmaus. We've only got a little bit of time here. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." John 1:1, "In the beginning the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we know through all that first few verses that it was Jesus Christ who created everything. God the Father worked through Jesus Christ to create everything. Jesus was there at the very beginning, at the inception of everything as we know it. Jesus was there. If you want to write this down so you sound smart when you're talking to other people, you can write down the fact that when God created, that everything was created before man ever got on the scene. He created the heavens, the earth, the light. He separated the light from the darkness. He created earth. He created Jupiter. He created the sun. He tilted the earth. He created the moon. He created Saturn. And all of that was done, plus the plant life, the animal life, the water, was all done for our benefit. The earth has to be tilted exactly at the angle that it is, because it's off just a little bit. It will be too hot in most places or too cold in other places to support human life. Jupiter and Saturn, they're humongous planets. They're gaseous. I don't know if you remember when Levy-Shoemaker Comet, some of them call it a string of pearls, started impacting Jupiter. Great big chunks of meteorite was slamming into this planet, and they have pictures of it. And one guy said, you know what's amazing is because Jupiter and Saturn are out there, and they are such huge planets with such huge gravitational pull that they actually act as a vacuum cleaner. As they go around the sun, they're actually pulling meteorites and other things into them, and it causes us to be spared a lot of damage that we would otherwise incur. Everything is placed there for our benefit, and then on day five, we show up, and the first thing God does after he makes Adam and Eve is says, I'm done, sun setting, let's go to sleep. Less rest, and tomorrow will be a day of rest for all creation. I will quit creating, and you're to enjoy my presence. You want to sound smart? It was all done on our behalf. Jesus' sufficiency was there in creation. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It's called the Protovangelium. You want to get real snazzy? Protovangelium, chapter 3, verse 15. It's the first mention that there's going to be a Redeemer come. God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. That's the beginning of the promise, the first inkling that there will be a Savior come. Just like other people, Eve thought when Cain was born that that was the seed that was going to redeem all mankind. She was wrong. She was rushing the prophecy. When God promises something, you've got to let God take care of it and fulfill it. And all the problems that were kicked off at that point played out, but true to God's word, he kept revealing Jesus Christ more and more and more to us. So we have the Protovangelium. As time goes on, he gives us more filling in of details. Psalm 24, the Lord is my shepherd. We get into John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. The revelation keeps going on and on. Isaiah chapter 53, the prophets. By the way, this is all intro. I'll tell you when we get to the main body. This is all intro. Chapter 53 of Isaiah. Verse 2, he had no beauty. It's talking about Jesus. Verse 3, he was despised and rejected. Verse 4, he took our infirmities and our sorrows. Verse 5, he was pierced for our transgression. Verse 6, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7, he was oppressed and afflicted. Verse 8, he was cut off, which means he was killed. Verse 9, he was assigned a grave. And verse 10, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him. Jesus Christ has been there in all of his efficiency from the beginning right on through, and then we finally come to the Gospels, and Jesus Christ himself makes a personal appearance. The guy that's been talked about since the beginning, when all earth was created, all creation came into existence, Genesis chapter 3, the Protovangelium, right on through, the guy that's been talked about so much and prophesied, he makes his personal appearance in John chapter 14. He says something that's startling to most people. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The whole revelation of God and Jesus Christ are all wrapped up into one. He makes a personal appearance, and he's talking to us and to all those people. The person that you've been talking about and looking forward to, I am here. I'm the guy that created. I'm the guy that's coming to save. I'm the guy that the prophets have talked about. And when you see me, you see the Father. You can really understand what God is really like. Then you come to the Paul's epistles, and it's just chock full of Jesus Christ and the revelation that he was given by Jesus, that Paul was given by Jesus. The new understanding, because it was after the day of Pentecost, the inauguration of the church started, Jesus comes to Paul and says, come with me to Arabia. I want to teach you some things. And Paul received all of his teaching by direct revelation from Jesus Christ himself. Then he comes back and starts to instruct the other apostles. And that's where we get St. Peter saying, the scriptures are given by the inspiration, and Paul's writings are scriptures, though they are hard to understand. He took a guy who was Jewish, Paul, who was brilliant, a theologian, revealed all this to him by the Holy Spirit through revelation in Arabia, comes back and starts trying to talk to the Jewish apostles, and even Peter saying, the guy has got it, and it's hard. I can't quite get my mind around it all the time, but he is telling the truth. So if you're having trouble understanding all the gospel, you're in good company. Peter, James, and the other people are right there with you. But it's still part of that revelation and efficiency of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus, 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 Jesus all the way through. From Genesis, as you've heard, all the way through to the book of the Revelation. Most of us people here have been taught all of our life, we need to read the book of the Revelation. We need to read the Revelation because we want to understand the end times. But that is not the real point of the book of the Revelation. The Revelation, chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants what must soon take place. And he made it known and on through John. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the unveiling or the revealing of Jesus Christ and in relationship, his self in relationship to all things that's going to happen into the future. We read it and we're just looking for the stuff that's happening in our future. What's going on in these last days that we're in? Are we in the last days? How's this playing out? Who's the dragon? Who's the woman? Who are the beasts? What's the seals? On and on. And we try to understand it all. But if we're really going to understand the book of Revelation, you got to understand that what it's doing is revealing Jesus Christ to us. Once again, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And if you go all the way to the last chapter of the book of Revelation, let me read this to you. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. That's Jesus talking. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. That is not where it stops. The revelation continues with this one last phrase. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Some of the translations say, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all of God's people. The one thing, Genesis to Revelation, and the one last thought he wants to pound into our heads once more, it's by grace, it's by grace, it's by the grace of Jesus Christ. But in the middle of all the grace is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus, 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 Jesus. Everything we've got to have in our life, everything we've got to understand, has to center around Jesus Christ. Everything. You say, I want to be led. Get more Jesus in your life. The more you understand him, the more you'll understand the leading of the Holy Spirit. The more you'll understand the way God works, because if you see Jesus, you see the Father. It's truly amazing. And this is why it all centers around Jesus. Don't let up on your studies of Jesus. There is a question. Intro is over. Now the preaching will start. Chapter 53, I read all starting with verse 2, but the question at the beginning of chapter 53 is verse 1. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who is the arm? Jesus Christ, God's right-hand man. That's who he's talking about. Who has believed our report, what we've heard? Who's going to believe all the things that we said about Jesus? To whom will the Lord reveal his right-hand man? Who is going to believe it? Folks, You are the ones that's going to believe it. You are the ones that God has revealed His right arm to. Jesus Christ has come and revealed Himself to you. He has offered Himself to you, and He says, if you will trust me, I will forgive your sins. I will not only do that, I will not only cleanse the house, I will also send my Holy Spirit to indwell you forever and a day. I will be there for you always. It's always Jesus-centered. Anybody that comes here to condemn you, they're not right. Jesus Christ came not to condemn, not to judge, but to save, to seek and to save that which is lost. You are the people who He saved. You are the ones who believe the report. You are the ones that He has been revealed to. I didn't come here to condemn you. I came here to tell you what is right about you. Jesus Christ is what is right about you. 2 Corinthians, where we started off, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, once again. Not that we ourselves are sufficient of ourselves to claim anything as concerning from us. Our sufficiency is from God. James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power in its effect. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and He hears, and His ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are upon their prayer. His ears are open to their prayer is what I'm trying to say. All the things that we have said is it's not your sufficiency, it's Jesus Christ in you. You are the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and that man was squeaky clean. And all your sins, yes, the soul that sins must die. Point at the cross and say, there is my death. My sins have been judged. Everything that I have ever done wrong, ever thought wrong, or ever conceived of doing, or ever will do, it's on that cross, and it was judged, and it was cursed, and it was damned, and it was pitched into hell, and it's over and done away with. All that's left of me is Jesus Christ and His cleanliness. I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. He is my sufficiency. Therefore, because I am righteous, because you are righteous, God hears your prayers. Isn't that what it said right there? 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Who are you? You are the righteous. You're the ones that believe the report. You're the ones that the Lord revealed His arm to. And His ears are open to their prayers. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of mercy and seek His presence. Seek His face. Say, I am here because I am righteous in Jesus Christ. Don't go timidly up there. Know who you are and walk up and say, thank you. I appreciate everything your Son has done. Therefore, I approach you. You still have trouble with it? Do you have trouble with it? Let's try it this way then. Jesus Christ is connected to the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what He says. We believe that Jesus Christ is the perfect man. Don't you believe that? Don't you believe that Jesus Christ is the perfect man sent by God the Father? Don't you believe it?
Amen.
Okay. If He is perfect and He's connected to the Father, we know that He has perfect faith. We know that He has perfect trust. We know also that He is our intercessor. If you have something and you say, well, I just don't know about this, God doesn't answer my prayer, go to Jesus personally and say, Jesus, here is something that I would like you, because you're perfect and you're my intercessor and I have your righteousness and you listen to what I have to say because you are the one that forgave me of my sin. Would you intercede on behalf of me to the Father and then walk away from it because you know He's perfect, you know He's connected, you know He's the intercessor, you know He will pray for you and say, I will let you take care of this. And then walk away from it and say, I am now in position of anticipating the answer. I am looking forward to it, God. I'm looking forward to it because your perfect Son has interceded for me. And I'm looking for that answer. I'm waiting. Don't have to dictate to God what the answer needs to be. You just have to put before Him the situation. You've got the picture of the Israelites. The army came in of the enemy. They made all sorts of scurrious remarks about the Israelis and God. They took it before the Lord, the altar. They opened it up and said, God, this is the threat the guy has made. And God told them, don't worry about it. Just sing some songs. Go out there and stand on the hills. Sing some praises to me and I'll take care of the situation. Get your stuff together. Sit down and say, God, here's my problem. This is what the enemy is coming against me with. This is my lack. This is my need. This is whatever's going on. This is the people who are attacking me. This, whatever it is, make your list and then go to Jesus. Lay it out literally in front of Him and say, here it is, I'm going down the list. Would you talk to the Father on my behalf for this, for this, for this, for this? I know you don't lie. Now I'm trusting you to take care of it. And then just file that list away. And what you need to do from that point on is smile, sit up straight, sing some songs, and relax in Jesus Christ, because you're going to let Him take care of it. Paul says, I've committed to Him against that day. There's things that you can commit to Jesus Christ and say, will you take care of it? And then by the time you show up, that I can say, this is the way the answer has been done. From beginning, Genesis 1:1, right on through to the book of the Revelation, it's Jesus, 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 Jesus. And He is our sufficiency in each and everything in our life. And the very last phrase is, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with His people. May His favor rest upon you. It's still about Jesus, and it's about His grace and His favor, and that's where we have to hang our hat, have to drive our nail in. We have to set down upon this one thing. We can trust our God. We can trust our Savior. Put your stuff out there in front of Jesus. If you don't think you're good enough to do it yourself, go to Him and say, here it is. And then set up straight and smile. Father, once again, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You from beginning to end. We thank You that He loves us. We thank You that He died for us. We thank You that He favors us. We thank You that He likes us. And we ask that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all of God's people forever and ever and ever. Amen.